Well, good morning. Or maybe afternoon. Afternoon. Thank you for all those nice things that you said, Jim. The only really important one is the fact that I'm a born-again Christian. This is, you know, you have everybody has these accountability groups that you learn to, that it's advisable to be in. And I've got a couple of people here that I've been in accountability groups with for probably 30 years. And I've learned and I've heard their testimony so many times that I really think I could give theirs better than mine. So I'm going to give Tim Smith's and Philip Drain's testimony today.
It's going to be mighty juicy, man.
But what you're getting ready to hear is a story of God's incredible love and His relentless pursuit. I was born in Tryon, North Carolina. My mom born in Virginia. She lived in the Depression era, one of those very rigid backgrounds, upbringings. She was a banker. My father was born in Winston-Salem and to a family of tobacco farmers. They had large families, and Dad was in upper-level management. He served in World War II in the 101st Airborne. He landed in Normandy, fought in Carentan, Eindhoven, Operation Market Garden, and it was eventually wounded in Bastogne. I remember my dad always telling me these stories growing up about the war that I was just so intrigued. I didn't really realize until later, you know, what that generation of men and women really did to provide freedom for this country. So you can imagine, my dad that was tough in some regards, and but he had a big heart and was a loving guy. The one thing that was pretty predominant in my family is that we were supposed to act right and be right, and whatever you do, don't you ever embarrass the family. As I said, Dad was with Burlington. We moved around from North Carolina to Virginia, to Tennessee, Alabama. We attended church every Sunday. Grew up Presbyterian. Knew I was loved in a sort of an overprotective atmosphere. But my parents were very critical, and I felt like I was always loved more when I was doing right. Dress right, act right. And remember, don't ever embarrass the family. I remember at the dinner table ended up being a place where it was convenient for my father to sort of analyze what had gone on through the day. And I just remember a lot of criticism and a lot of tension took place at the dinner table. And I would encourage anyone that still has their kids or their family around the dinner table that that's not the time to discuss issues like that. It's time to encourage and affirm people at dinner. I ran into a beautiful woman in high school that was a little more worldly and advanced than I was. She ended up getting pregnant. And so when I told my family that situation, I actually thought my family was ready to disown me. If it had not been for our pastor that said that, you know, your son needs you now more than ever, I don't know what would have happened. But, you know, horrible things like that sometimes can turn into good things. I thank God that we didn't seek abortion routes, but we went the route of getting married and having a child, which ended up, God took this, what appeared to be a horrible situation, and later in life turned it into something fabulous. I moved to Mobile in 1968, worked in the clothing business. I remember clearly, and I won't mention their names because you may know them, a fellow named Sam Hamilton and his girlfriend Hemi Hightower. They witnessed to me in Ozzy's Barbecue out on O'Shell Road and tried to tell me about Jesus Christ, even though I said, you know, I know about him. You don't need to tell me anything. They were trying to get me to go to Bayview Church. I rejected that. Went on about my way. Somewhere along in there, I found out my wife was seeing other men. That devastated me, and what came from that was a terrible divorce. Later in life, I learned that she was acting out of her woundedness, and I was able to forgive. At that, when I was single, I just began filling my emptiness with girlfriends, a lot of drinking, partying. Money was very powerful and important in my life. Pornography, I used profanity constantly. And my solid way of thinking was whoever wins ends up with the most toys wins. I entered the real estate business in 1974, and I got custody of my daughter in 75. That was the wonderful thing. I really wasn't a very good father. I was more interested in what I was doing than being a good father. But again, later in life, God even redeemed that. Somehow God protected me and introduced me to my wife, Lane. Neither one of us were seeking the Lord at the time, but He did bring me a beautiful and wonderful wife. We had two children, which Jim already mentioned. Now, my wife began attending church in 1980. She went to Christ Episcopal Church. I would go on Christmas or Easter, one of the two. I'll never forget her telling me that she wanted to go to a Disciples of Christ class. And I remember thinking about it. I said, you know what? I guess it's okay if you go, but I just don't want you to change. I'm told that they prayed for my salvation in that class. But I mean, my arrogance was just horrible, especially toward Christians. I'll never forget that bumper sticker that was put on cars, the I Found It. Y'all remember that? I was so offended by that. It incensed me that somebody would put I Found It on their car. Words like born again were just totally out of vocabulary. somewhere around 1984, I'll never forget, my wife had exploratory surgery. And our minister, John Barr, came and prayed for me. And I just remember breaking down and crying. And I got angry that what he said made me cry. In 1984, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. So I went back home to Scottsboro, Alabama, and I was with my dad. That's the first time I ever saw my dad cry. I realized how serious it was. I walked across the street to this grammar school that I went to, and I remember on the playground falling on my knees, and I begged God to save my mother. Made him all sorts of promises, told him if he'd save my mother that I would turn my life over to him. Well, my mother is 92 years old today. She has been saved, but at that time I reneged on my promise. I went about my ways and did not get, I don't even know if I said thank you to God. I remember always trying to fill my emptiness with transcendental meditation, other self-help books, all the wrong stuff. The stress of the world just got more and more powerful, financial, marriage, being a father, you know, the pressures that society puts on us. And one day in the summer of 1985, I was sitting in my office just working my tail off. And there was this this woman that I knew her, but she came walking in my office and walked past, no one walked past my secretary, but she walked right past my secretary. My secretary didn't even stop her. And she comes into my office and shuts the door behind her and says, "The Lord has sent me here today for you. And I hope you're ready." And I remember saying to her, "What are you talking about?" And she was walking over behind my desk. She grabbed my hands and said, "Repeat after me. Dear Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. And I recognize you as the master of my life. And I want to follow you all the days of my life." Well, I repeated those words, fellas, and I'm just telling you, I started crying like a baby. And if you really want to, you know how long 15 minutes is? But I'm not exaggerating. I cried and whimpered and made all kind of noises for at least 15 minutes. I just could not contain myself. So at that time, I felt it was like my heart just cracked. I felt this intense heat. And I felt this peaceful presence that I had never experienced before in my entire life. Well, I later found out that this woman had been told by God 2 weeks prior to go do this. And she put it off for 2 weeks. She got in her car and drove to my office and left and didn't come back. And then this day she had driven around for 2 hours trying to get out of this. And finally she was obedient and came in, and this is what happened. I was absolutely a changed person. I couldn't figure out what in the world had happened to me, but she handed me her Bible and said, "It's in here. If you'll just read it, we'll start with the New Testament, just read it." I just remember thinking at that point, I knew something had changed, and I'd heard about this kind of change, and I said, "You know what? I'm afraid all my friends, when my friends find out, they're going to all leave me. I'm not going to have any friends left." And oddly enough, the friends that did leave, because I became such a wild man Christian, later in life, every single one of those people came back and at some point asked for advice or asked me to pray for them. But I began devouring Scripture. The words just started flying off the pages with crystal clear meaning. I went to church every time the door was open. I started seeking every worship I could find around town. I went to revivals. All the Kansas City Fellowship groups when they came into town. W.V. Grant, Shambach, Peter Marshall, even went to see Benny Hinn. I remember reading Scripture. And this was very important to me. Jesus said, or just said when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he went off to pray and asked his disciples to stay alert. Numerous times he came back to them and found them asleep. And he said, "Can you not pray with me for just 1 hour?" I realized that I was the one that had been sleeping and not been praying. That one scripture at that point in time totally transformed my prayer life to where I started to begin spending an hour a day with him, which I still do to this day. But I developed this incredible intimacy with Jesus, with God, and it was even more intimate than my relationship with my wife. Something I just never began that ever thought was possible. The Lord began to speak to me when I would sit there and be quiet. There's just no way when you first sit down in prayer, all you can do is just, it's your thoughts. It's all in your head. But the longer you sit there and the more you pour out your heart, you really start sensing things in your heart, and the Lord will start speaking to you. And once you practice it for a long time, you start realizing the difference between your thoughts and what He's saying to you. Somewhere along the line, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, realized that the Holy Spirit was now in my life, and I was trying to walk with the Spirit every day, every moment of my life, to realize that there's a spiritual world out there that's all around us that's going to be there for eternity, and we're here only for a short period of time on this earth. I even thought I was called to the ordained ministry. My pastor said, no, I don't think so. But I did witness boldly to everybody. I really should have been locked up in a closet at first, because I was just bouncing off my car, bouncing off the walls. But maybe say car is. I even put a fish on my car. In 1986, most of you guys will remember, there was a huge tax law change by President Reagan that devastated the real estate industry. I remember calling Sonny Callahan and just saying, Sonny, this is going to kill the real estate business. You just don't vote for it. He told me later, 6 years later, he called me and apologized for voting for it. He said, I would have jumped off the Washington Bridge if Ronald Reagan had told me to do so. But not only did it take the real estate business under, but it took the savings and loan industry under with it also. Things were really, really tough at that time. And I really just felt like things were spiraling downward, and I couldn't figure a way out. So I went to my CPA. He looked at things. Then I went to my lawyer, and my lawyer was the one who had the guts to say, Richard, you're bankrupt. I don't see a way out of this. You can't even make what you've made and get out of this mess. You know, you owe about $1 million, and you're not making enough to live off of and to pay that off too. That's my suggestion. So I remember going back to John Barr, my minister, and I said, this is what my lawyer has advised. And he said, well, why don't you fast and pray about it? And I said, well, I'm not sure about how to fast. So we went through scripture about how to fast. So I went to my office one Saturday morning, and I didn't eat anything, and I prayed from 7 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm telling you, I know I shouldn't say this, but that was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, to pray for 10 hours solid without stopping. But I'll tell you what, the Lord started speaking to me very, very clearly. And the two things He said to me, and it wasn't in an audible voice, but it was so clear I knew it. I want you to give your business to me, and I want you to tithe. And I said, you want to tithe? I mean, I can't even pay my bills. I remember going home and telling my wife that she thought I'd lost my mind. And she told her parents, and they thought I'd lost my mind. But I begged her that I'd heard from God. So to make a long story short, y'all, we started tithing. Whenever the money would come in, 10% went straight to the Lord. And it was just like the loaves and fish. There was somehow always enough to seem to pay the bill. And I mean to tell you, it was amazing. 3 years after I did that, or as soon as I started doing that, my business just went through the roof. And this is back when no one in the commercial business was doing anything. It was dead. And I started having my best years. My best years by 5 and 10 times. I was able to pay all the money I owed off in 3 years and totally transformed, again, our life. And I had to be taught in a really difficult way how important that was to God. You know, we were very fortunate at some point to have these folks come to our church, Conley and Signe Bodishbaugh, that were into the healing ministry. And I really got involved in that. And it was called The Journey to Wholeness. And I realized, and I always thought that when I was born again, that God had turned my life upside down. And I finally realized my life had been upside down since the day I was born, and He finally turned it right side up. So from that point, you know, as we all know, there's only one whole person that's ever walked the face of the earth, and that's Jesus Christ. And He shows you how to become whole through Scripture, how to become the proper men, how to become proper husbands, how to become great at work, how to read Scripture, how to understand it, how to influence others properly, how to forgive, how not to intimidate other people. So going to these healing sessions just really started slowly turning my life, you know, right back up. And I'll never forget that, the one time at one of those sessions, it was about forgiveness. And I thought that I'd learned how to forgive people, and I realized that I had not. And the most powerful image God gave to me is that I was at the foot of the cross, and he was dying. And His blood was dripping down on His feet, and I had my hands out catching the blood. And every time that I did not forgive someone was like taking that blood and just throwing it back on Him. Is the image He gave me, which totally transformed my life about forgiveness. I also had the fear of rejection that I overcame, and the need for affirmation. I can remember almost being jealous when I would watch other people be affirmed and I wasn't receiving it. And at one of those times, the Lord said to me again, "You're looking for your affirmation from the world. You're never going to be satisfied. If you'll come to me, I'll affirm you every single time." And He has done that. Most people will agree that a consistent prayer life is important. But the desire to pray just cannot come from the flesh. That desire must be birthed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we respond, that desire can move to a discipline, a holy discipline. And after that discipline encourages us to pray, then our prayer life will finally become one of delight. So most of us want to have that type of prayer life, but it demands desire, discipline, before that delight comes. And I can promise you, it will transform your life. I know that each of you have felt the Holy Spirit urging you to pray before. And if you will just give in to that urge, again, I say it will transform your life. Because remember what we talked about before, that while Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for every one of us, if we are not praying, then He might be saying to you, "Why are you not praying with me for just 1 hour? Can you not just pray for 1 hour?" It's transformed my life, guys, and I just know it will yours. So I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to share what God's done in my life, and I say, praise God.
Well, for those of you who have been here on previous occasions, we've just heard from another satisfied customer. When I asked Richard, in fact, we were at a car show a couple of weeks ago in the Dalton Way parking lot. They had a bunch of cars. Melvin back there had one of his vehicles, and I went up to Richard and asked him if he would consider praying about coming today and sharing what the Lord had been doing. And he said he would. He said he had quite an experience, quite a salvation experience. He didn't go into detail, But he did today, and Richard, we appreciate your sharing very vulnerably how in 1985 a woman who felt led of the Lord to come and pay you a visit and lead you in a prayer of repentance, confession, repentance, and calling on the name of the Lord Jesus that she might be saved. And it's as simple as that if it comes from your heart. He shared with us several changes, profound changes that he's experienced along the way. But I made a note where in 1984 he promised God that he would turn his life over to him if he'd spare his mother. God was faithful to respond to that prayer. I think I heard him say his mother's now 92. But he didn't keep his promise at the time, which is true probably of, I know it's true of me and perhaps true of some of you. I see a friend of mine smiling. Anyway, God is faithful. He stands by his word to perform it. And if we will come to him on his terms, he has provided a Savior whose name is Jesus, because he said without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. John 3:17 said, God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn us, because truth be known, we were born under condemnation. That's why we need to be born again. So again, Richard, thanks for sharing. Another thing that he mentioned on a number of occasions was prayer. Sounds like he has a good prayer life. And God is just always a prayer away. He doesn't always answer them the way we'd like him to, but he knows some things that we don't know. Have you ever said to the man in the mirror, if I'd have just known back then what I know now, I would have made a different choice? Well, God knows everything. And so often the prayers that we offer are selfish prayers, all kinds of different prayers. But God answers every one of them. Sometimes he answers immediately, just like we ask him to. Sometimes he answers differently. Sometimes his answer is no. But he always answers prayer. And he says, ask, and it'll be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. So we should all develop that discipline of prayer like Richard has shared about. On your table is an envelope in the center. In that envelope is some registration cards. We have recorded Richard's story, and we'll be making MP3s and CDs. If you all are not able to use MP3s, there's a place on the card that if you would like a recording of what Richard shared, if you'll check that box, and it mentions CDs. If you can handle an MP3, just write MP3 out to the side. We'd like all of you to give us your correct email address so that we can keep you informed of upcoming events. And up at the top of that card are some topical studies that we offer periodically. One of them is receiving help in your position of husband to your wife, father to your children. That's a series we currently have going on out here right now. It's a 6-session series. We've already had 4 of those sessions, so it would be too late to get into that one at the present time, but we'll be offering that again right after the first of the year. There's one on there about running your business by the book, running your business according to biblical principles. There's one on getting your finances in order. So look at that list of offerings very closely, and if there's any interest on your part on any of those, if you'll check those boxes, when we're ready to offer those topical studies, we'll be in touch with you to let you know when and where, and at your time, you can decide whether or not you're ready to participate in those studies. If while Richard was sharing, you felt the Lord tugging on your heart, in the book of Revelation chapter 3, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And if you feel he's knocking at your heart's door, he says, if you will open the door and invite him in, he'll come in. And it's just that simple, acknowledging your need as a sinner, and you're accepting the what you know, that he is the one and only way to God, the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'll open that door and invite him in, he'll come in. But you have to invite him in. If you have made that decision, or you'd like to get more information about that, to see that actually expressed in the Bible, if you will check, there's a box there that has no statement following it. If you'll check that, you'll be giving us permission to contact you privately, not to embarrass you, not to sign you up for anything. We're certainly not after your money. But it would just be giving us an opportunity to sit down with you one-on-one, open up God's Word, and try and answer any and all questions that you have. Offer you the same help that I received and many of us have received in this room. Next Tuesday is the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast at the Convention Center. Doors open at 7 o'clock. We like to get underway with the program at 7:30, starting off with Pledge of Allegiance. The Voices of Mobile will be there to sing a couple of songs for us, and then breakfast will be served. And Ricky Brooks is coming down, the CEO for Express Oil Change and Tire Engineers, is coming down from Birmingham to share. Very remarkably successful businessman. He's coming and he'll be sharing his story and a message. If you'd like to attend and you don't yet have a ticket, we've got about 10 or 12 tickets left that we can make available to you on an individual basis. They're $25 a piece. I've got one ticket left, but Travis told me that he could come up with another 8 or 9 tickets. So if you'd be interested in attending the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast next Tuesday morning at the Convention Center, and you'd like the ticket, just see Travis at the back of the room where you came in. Anything else, Travis? That's it. Well, I'm sorry.
Materials?
I'm sorry?
Okay.
There's some material on, I'm sorry, thank you, Travis. There's some material. I'm getting some new hearing aids as soon as I leave here. At 1:30, I've got an appointment to get my hearing, get new hearing aids. There's some resources on the back table that are designed to help you in your spiritual journey. One of them is entitled Steps to Peace with God. Just a few years ago, there was a gentleman that came, and I had met that gentleman previously, and he knew all the books of the Bible. And he came to one of our weekly groups, and if somebody mentioned a book of the Bible, he could beat us there. He knew the books of the Bible. And he would pray. But it wasn't until he came to one of these luncheons and he heard another layman share that it's not enough to know the books of the Bible. It's not enough to know all about God. You need to know him and be known by him. And he took that to heart. The Holy Spirit opened up his understanding to appreciate what that layman shared. On his way out, he picked up that little pamphlet. There's plenty of these back there. Steps to Peace with God. His office is downtown. But his testimony is, he on his way downtown, he pulled off to the side of the road, read that little booklet, and that's when he and the Lord made the connection. He's not, I don't think he's here today, but that's the testimony of a man. There's plenty of those little booklets back there. Maybe you're satisfied with your position with God. If you have any question about that, you might want to let us help you make for sure. But maybe you've got somebody in your family, somebody you work with, and you'd like to help them have steps to peace with God, peace with God. Feel free to pick up as many of those as you would use, okay? There's other resources. There's Bible reading plans. We're coming up on the first of the year. Be here before we know it. And oftentimes at the first of the year, we make new pledges. We make new objectives and goals. One good objective would be to read through the Bible in next coming year. There's a couple of Bible reading plans back there. One that will take you through the Bible the way your Bible is laid out. There's another Bible reading plan that will take you through the Bible chronologically. Because the way our Bibles are put together, they're not chronological. They're in groups. If you've read the Bible a few times and you'd like a new approach, feel free to pick up the one that's chronological. And how can you tell? Well, both reading plans start off with Genesis, the first book in the Bible. The next book is Exodus. But on the chronological reading plan, it goes from Genesis to Job. And I think you'll find that an interesting approach to reading the Scriptures. And one thing about Job, he lived before the days of Abraham. They didn't have any Bibles. They didn't have any churches. But as you read the book of Job, I don't know about you, but you'll be amazed at how much they knew about the invisible God. So God has taken the initiative and gone to great lengths to make himself known to each and every one of us, because he loves us and he has the best for us. He desires that we would know him, and he's made it possible through Christ to enter into that intimate personal relationship. So we thank you all for coming, and if we can help you in any way, please give us that opportunity. I hope you'll finish filling out those cards, and if you have a particular question or comment, feel free to write that on the back of your card. Anything else, Travis? Okay, I just got a thumbs up. Thank you all for coming. Have a blessed afternoon.